by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour. Man, I'm trying to push this show along. Second hour here on this Friday, as usual, our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. And he has a short history for us on tariffs.
Right, and may not be that short. I don't know. See how this goes. A tariff is a tax on goods coming into the country. Okay, it was the tax of choice in our Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution empowered Congress to put a duty on import, which is a tariff, what we call tariffs now. The word tariff is not in the Constitution, but a duty on imports, that is the power of the legislative branch. Now, Congress cannot, by Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, cannot levy an export tax. So Congress can put a tax on tariffs, but it cannot put a tax on imports by the Constitution. In 1974, there was something called the Trade Act of 1974, a couple hundred years later almost, where Congress delegated authority to the president to lay a tariff. If it's national security, quote, or, quote, severely harming a specific industry. Now, whether or not that was wise or not, which I kind of, as a person that believes in the separation of powers, I don't think it was very wise. But nevertheless, the executive, the president, has the power to lay tariffs on nations.
Now, I'm going to stop you right there. This was in our founding document known as the U.S. Constitution. This is the way they generated income to fund the federal government, because we did not have income taxes at that point.
Right, right. There's three purposes of a tariff. One is to raise revenue, to fund the government. At one time, 95% of all United States revenue was generated through tariffs. It was the way the federal government operated. Now, obviously, today we have the income tax via the 16th Amendment. We don't generate that much money from tariffs. It has been decreasing significantly since income tax, the 16th Amendment, and since World War II. For the last 70 years or so, 80 years, it has been decreasing. But it is the original tax of choice. So much so that it was in 1789, right after the Constitution took effect, the second bill ever passed was the Tariff Act of 1789. George Washington signed it. And there's been a long argument on this. long argument, and I'll try to walk you through the history of this as best I can. But don't let anybody tell you, well, we don't believe in this. We're Americans. The quote, and I was one that used, I remember telling my grandfather this when I was just 35 years ago, free trade, free trade. We're a free country. We want free trade. That's the argument that initially Thomas Jefferson was arguing to Alexander Hamilton, but eventually even Thomas Jefferson backed off from that argument, the free trade argument. And we'll talk about that as the program unfolds.
Absolutely. And I have lots of input on this as well, because I've actually studied this in detail. So I might be able to help with the history lesson discussion with you today as well. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Do you have a fear of running out of money during retirement, or maybe worried about another market crash as the one we experienced in 2008? I have solutions. Whether it's for education, family, retirement, gift giving, or simple protection of your hard-earned money, I have a number of contractual guaranteed payouts to choose from. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Go ahead, sir, pick up after George Washington, you said, signed this in 1789.
Right. And so it was only a 5% tax on goods coming into the country. But Alexander Hamilton was really arguing we need to protect what he called infant industries. There's a sense in which the revolution, at least partly, was about the ability of us to build up our own industries, American industries. We were forbidden by Great Britain to do that. We could not produce things. The whole theory of mercantilism, they viewed colonies, and this was a prevailing economic theory throughout Europe. They looked at the United States, what was it, America, the American colonies, wasn't called the United States yet, obviously, but as just something to promote them, and as a new market for their manufacturers, and we could not do things. So part of it was they were restricting what we could do, and Alexander Hamilton argued that we need to protect infant industries. We need to build them up. Now I, Rusty Chatfield, we need to protect shuttered industrial complexes or shuttered factories in this country. As you know, we have tens of thousands of factory buildings that are idle. Why? Because the free trade idea has caused our industries to be to move out of country because they can make things cheaper with cheaper labor in foreign countries and ship it back to us, and we can buy it cheaper. And our industries our manufacturing industries have collapsed. And President Trump is simply trying to build up American industries. And all Americans understood this, at least, especially there was always an argument here. Okay. As when we moved into 1800, from 1800 until 1950, we had 150 years of protectionism. And even the Democrats, even the Jeffersonians started to see that. It was kind of agreed upon. Thomas Jefferson originally thought that, he looked at a country controlled or dominated by agrarian interests, so that the independent farmer could live on his own, be free, grow his own food, make his own stuff, and that was his vision of America. Whereas Alexander Hamilton, who argued for a protective tariff from the beginning, said, no, we need to become an industrial and commercial power. And so much so that Thomas Jefferson's idea on this evolved. He said, manufacturers are now as necessary to our independence as to our comfort. He understood that we have to make our own stuff, everything. Not just so that we can have comfort or have economic activity, but that our own industries can make it and we can maintain our independence. Now, here's a scholar said, here are the three purposes of tariffs. One, to raise revenue. That's what originally it was, to raise revenue. And that's when the federal government was so small, you didn't need that much. Two, to protect domestic producers. We have to make our own things. If you levy a tax on goods coming into the country, now President Trump and this 25% thing, which, by the way, historically is low, believe it or not.
Oh,
historically
very,
is
very
low.
Yeah.
The average in 1816 was 35%, and then a few years later it was 40% tariff on goods coming into the country for 150 years.
Yep.
So 25% is still below the average for 150 years. Okay, so we need to protect domestic producers. And thirdly, here's what President Trump is using it for, at least partially. And he's to reach reciprocity to reduce trade barriers. In other words, what he's doing now, he said, look, I'm going to slap on a 25% tariff. Again, whether it was wise or not to have this Trade Act of 1974, where the president can do this unilaterally, that's a separate constitutional question. But he can, and he is. It is constitutional that he can do that. But he's trying to say, I'm going to do this until you reduce your barriers to me. But what I'm saying, too, and this is the fourth reason, and this one's mine, that we need tariffs is to protect American jobs and American sovereignty. American jobs and American sovereignty. If we are totally dependent upon any country to produce, bolts or screws or some part of our automobiles, whatever, then we can't make our own stuff. And what if a war falls out and we need to, as happened, right, as we entered World War II, convert automobile factories into other things to make war materials? Our sovereignty is compromised when we have these massive multilateral trade agreements. We don't need those. What we need, and George Washington said this, he said, George Washington in his farewell address says, we need just enough political connection that we can trade bilaterally with countries. So we'll make a deal with country by country by country, bilaterally, not multilateral, because that has a tendency to bring us into a union with the rest of the world. And we don't want a union with the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is not, as President Trump would say, they're not nice. They're not nice. He's trying to simply protect American industry, and he's using this as leverage, I think, to do that. And so I want to make that point, that this is a long-term historical thing. By the way, just so you know, besides Alexander Hamilton, I mean, he argued for this. There was somebody named Henry Clay, who was the longest-reigning Speaker of the House ever in the United States. He was a Whig, and he was promoting business. He promoted something called the American system, and that was a high protective tariff. Take that money and use it for internal improvements in the United States at the time, in the 18 teens, 1820s, 1830s, right into 1840. Use it to build roads, to build canals, railroads. Let's improve America. It was called the American system. There was a young politician who was spent one term in Congress that agreed with him. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And he said this. He said, give us a protective tariff and we'll be the greatest nation on earth. That was one of his fundamental argument. His platform was, one, no extension of slavery, and two, a protective tariff. He called himself a Henry Clay tariff Whig. That's before the Republican Party was formed.
Sure.
And that the Whig Party, which the majority of them became part of the Republican Party, was the party of tariffs. But that's what the Republicans believed in.
Now, when he made that statement, give us the year again, just so we have a timeline here.
When Lincoln made that statement, it would have been when he was in Congress. Probably in the 1840s, 1850s. But he carried that through his presidency.
Absolutely.
He was a believer in tariffs.
When they created the Republican Party, he ran. He was the first elected Republican in 1860. This was still part, very much part of what our founding fathers started with. He was continuing it and absolutely kind of recertifying it, if you will, as an idea of a way to fund government.
Right. Right. Let me just walk you through this. Here are some major protective tariffs in our country. The tariff of 1828, which people in the South called the tariff of abominations. It was so high. 62% tax on 92% of all imported goods. That created the nullification crisis in South Carolina. When South Carolina, even back in 1832, was threatening to leave the Union, and President Andrew Jackson, though himself a Democrat, says, no, you're not going to leave the Union. Jackson said, yeah, the tariff's too high, but you cannot leave the Union. But they were threatening to leave the Union because, generally speaking, the Democrats were opposed to tariffs. The Whigs and later the Republicans were for higher tariffs. Everybody was for some tariffs because everybody wanted to protect America. But it was
why did they make the tariff so high in 1828?
To protect American industries. Now, here's the deal.
Was this across the board on everything coming into America?
92% of all imported goods had a 62% tax. Now, here's the deal. The South, by this time, they were making their living with cotton. They were doing all that. They were buying all their manufactured goods. So that caused the price of imported manufactured good to rise in the South. And they weren't making anything. Now, in the North, the Northerners were making their goods, and it was protecting our industries so we could – and it was providing us jobs in the North, but it wasn't providing the South any jobs.
Gotcha.
Your industries were very small. That's why the South was opposed to tariffs. And by the way, and you've heard me say this many times, slavery was the cause of the Civil War. But secondly, the second major issue was the tariff. The South did not want tariffs because it caused prices to rise, and they were getting no benefit because they were making their things. They were buying it either from the North.
They were buying all their stuff, most of them coming in from other countries.
Right. And that really did harm to our sovereignty. So that's the tariff of 1828. The Smoot-Hawley tariff, this is a famous tariff, which raised tariffs up to 50% on 20,000 imported items. And a lot of people say, Smoot-Hawley, that caused the Great Depression. Well, I don't know if it was a wise time to do it or not, but it is what the Republicans promoted. Again, the Fordney-McCumber tariff of 1922, Republican-led. The McKinley tariff of 1890, a 50% tariff. Okay. The Underwood-Simmons tariff of 1913, Emergency Tariff Act of 1921. There's been lots of these tariffs in our country over the years. Generally speaking, Republicans are the ones that wanted the tariffs to protect American business. Now, who's opposed the tariffs? It was generally the South and the more agrarian interest. Why? Because you take states like, say, Nebraska, Kansas, much of the South. It used to be all of the South. When your economy is based on cotton or wheat or rice or whatever, corn, you're shipping a lot of stuff over. And if we slap a tariff on goods coming into our country, their country, the other nation is going to slap a tariff on our food going elsewhere.
Sure.
That's why they don't. They're kind of against tariffs, and I think some of the senators in the United States Senate, I think they understand this, and they say, well, even some of the Republicans are saying against the Trump tariff. Wow, we're opposed to this. This is not wise. I think I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They're only saying that to try to placate their farmers who don't like it, because the farmers are afraid. And I get it's a real plight for farmers. If we smack or place a tariff on goods coming into the country, then the other country is going to tax our food going to them.
They already are. And it's amazing the numbers that Canada has been doing to us and others. We're going to talk about that point, especially when we get back. I've been studying this one really good. On the Hour Newsbreak with Pest Chatfield. Tariffs, especially on farming, we're going to talk about. We'll be right back.
Michigan News Source. Brought to you this hour by Wolverine Water Systems.